Touchpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, The Bike Show talks to cycling podcasters We Got to Hang Out and The Sprocket. Tonight at 5 on the Cable Evening News, we'll introduce you to a 15-year-old who's on a mission to bring worldwide awareness to the history of U.S. nuclear activity in the Marshall Islands. But coming up next, it's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. Thank you, Cable members, for your generous support. Remember, if you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kabu.fm and clicking on Donate.
Join From the Grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and commentary on April 7th, 2017, from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. We will continue our musical education by focusing on Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke, his voice was like an angel. Sam Cooke, he lived like an intelligent, proud black man. Sam Cooke, he died like a human being. From the Grassroots, April 7th, from 8 p.m. until 10, on 90.7 FM, KBOO in Portland.
I don't know what's up there beyond the sky.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, April 5th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. And when every morning when I say that, when I say community radio, sanctuary radio, resistance radio, I really mean that. I hope that I speak for listeners, and I hope I speak for people who aren't listening. But I think that now, more than ever, credibility and integrity in journalism, in reporting the news, is vital. It's rapidly slipping from our hands. Social media, Twitter, of course, are undermining the work, the hard work that journalists report, investigative reporters, and in fact their readers as well, all of us together, that's community. And sanctuary is what we defend, and resistance is the way that we defend it. That's why I read that. That's why I say that every morning. And now, the weather rolling in, rain likely, probably later in the afternoon, though. You can sort of see it hovering off there on the horizon, if you're able to see the horizon anymore. With a high near 59, and tonight rain is likely. Lows are around 48, and light variable wind. For tomorrow, we're going to see rainy skies in the morning, tapering off to showers later on, and a high around 59. Tomorrow night rain, mainly later, and low around 45. And that's it for the weather. Today we are very, very fortunate to have Marjorie Cohen joining us today. Cohen is a professor emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law, former president of the National Lawyers Guild, and author of a new edition of Drones and Targeted Killing, Legal, Moral, and Geopolitical Issues, that's coming out soon. What we're interested in taking a look at today is the real reason that Republicans would not give Merrick Garland a hearing, and the real reasons behind what we're seeing taking place before our shock. I think even many Republicans who still have some ethical and moral foundation to their political beliefs, I believe that even these Republicans have serious doubts about Neil Gorsuch. And there have been even suggestions that part of the reason that Trump had chosen him in the first place because he was so nice to look at. He looks so great on Fox News. And so that's there's a clue right there as to why this is such an abysmal choice. People have said that he's highly qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. I would argue he's not. He's highly qualified, but he's not highly qualified to be on the Supreme Court, which, if anybody remembers, is not theoretically intended to be a politicized body. That was never the intention. And what it, the quicksand trap that seems to have fallen into appears to be inescapable. Gorsuch isn't trying to escape. He's digging himself deeper into the political lower depths of the Supreme Court. He's doing it right now. He's not even appointed yet. They're so firm in their confidence this is going to happen. Despite the efforts, 15-hour efforts of Jeff Merkley's filibuster, which was an extraordinary event, there are parts of what he said that are really worth looking at, taking a hard consideration of, and rather than rolling right over it, moving on to the next thing, to the big one, so to speak, on Thursday. But what Merkley said is really worth giving a solid listen to. We're waiting to hear if we've got Marjorie on the line. And there are other headlines, but, you know, we have an opportunity to speak to Marjorie Cohen, so that's what we want to do today. Good morning, Marjorie. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Yes, my pleasure, Chris.
We are, Jeff Merkley's, sincerely a noble effort. What he did was he gave a great deal of himself to speaking for 15 hours, and much of what he said, as we just mentioned, is really worth giving a serious consideration to. Neil Gorsuch, though, I think that I'm wondering if there are not other aspects. He is indeed highly qualified, but my question for you, is he highly qualified to sit on the Supreme Court for a long time?
No, he's not. He's very callous, and his decisions show that. His decision ruling against a truck driver who disobeyed his employer's orders instead of freezing to death. He ruled against an autistic child who wasn't getting proper education. He ruled against a college professor who wanted to take a few more weeks of leave after her cancer. He may be qualified on paper. He has the pedigree. He has the judicial experience, but he's callous. He's cold. He's cold-hearted, and in fact, that was mentioned at the when Chuck Schumer announced that he would vote against Gorsuch. He said, "We don't want judges with ice water in their veins." I disagree with you, Chris, that Republicans can see through them. The Republicans in the Senate are walking in lockstep. They are delighted with this nominee. This nominee comes right from the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society. He is a reliable vote against reproductive rights, against the rights of workers, immigrants, the environment, you name it. And I don't think that he was chosen by Trump because he looks good. I think he was chosen very, very, in a very calculated way by Steve Bannon, who wants to destroy the administrative state. He wants deregulation, and he said that. He, both Steve Bannon and Reince Priebus, said at the Conservative Political Action Committee that the two of the major priorities of the Trump administration were first, deregulation, second, getting Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. And Gorsuch's refusal to defer to agencies such as the Department of Labor in the frozen trucker case, it's in the best position to know how to interpret ambiguous laws, goes against not just the weight of authority, but even Scalia didn't go that far. Gorsuch is even to the right of Scalia. He's going to be with us for decades. He's 49 years old, and there was an interesting article in the New York Times today that it's not just one more conservative vote, but he will bring others along with him, because that's what the deliberative process does. So it will move the court to the right, and if Trump gets another nomination, heaven forbid, three justices are almost 80 or over 80, then we're talking about losing the right to choose, losing the right to same-sex marriage, losing voting rights, you name it.
We seem to have to almost be taking that for granted. I don't mean literally that Trump chose it because he looked nice. It's just that Trump is very shallow, frivolous, and has virtually no understanding of the role of the Supreme Court, except insofar as it can deliver to him exactly what he has ordered, what he expects, what he demands. So I didn't mean that as that was really one of the things. It is, of course, the Supreme Court is so highly politicized now, and what you're saying is, of course, evidence of that. It's obviously become something very different from what it was originally intended to be. How do you see the Neil Gorsuch presence on the Supreme Court? How does this change? Really, it does change everything. It's no longer the Supreme Court that the founding fathers intended. It would appear. Is that going too far?
Well, I think that the political balance of the Supreme Court with Gorsuch on it will return to generally the political balance that the court had when Scalia was there. I don't think he's going to move it radically to the right. I think the next nominee will, if Trump has another nominee. But I think that the thing that really is changing the Supreme Court, and it's, there's been ideological fights throughout the years, is the fact that the Republicans refused to give Merrick Garland a hearing. Mm. That was unprecedented, that they didn't even take up the nomination of a sitting president 9 months before he was to leave office. There was absolutely no precedent for that, and that is, Merrick Garland should be sitting on the court as we speak. There should be no Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. It's absolutely unacceptable, and I think that Jeff Merkley, the all-night filibuster, the intent of the Democrats to filibuster this nomination, even though the Republicans will change the rules and get him through anyway, it's critical that they filibuster him to resist Trump at every step of the way, because if Trump thinks that he can get away with anything without resistance and without opposition, then he will do it even more. And the one good thing that Trump has done, I have to say, is to unite the opposition. There are people in the streets, in congressmen's offices, in women's offices, at the airports, demonstrating, rallying, resisting, and Trump is responsible for that, and that is only going to grow and continue. When you have the Republicans fighting among themselves about repealing and replacing Obamacare, the Democrats, and you have Trump mad at the right wing of the Republican Party and saying, I'm going to work with the Democrats, this is the time that the Democrats should step up to the plate and demand single payer. That's what should happen. If they wanted to tinker with Obamacare or even replace it with something else, it should be replaced with single payer, and the Democrats should be screaming about that and starting with that position and there would be a lot of public support for that, and who knows where it would go.
Well, I say this, in Oregon, there are many, many people right now who see that, and voices are raised, and this is all is coalescing into one voice. On that subject, though, we've got just 1 minute before we have to let you go. I don't know whether we have time to even get into this. If there are more on Trump and his cohorts' connections to Russia, will that in any way influence this decision this week? Is it
No, it won't. Quite frankly, Chris, the United States has not only fixed elections, but thrown out, ousted, assassinated, democratically elected, elected leaders, and put dictators in their place for so many years. Trump, I have a piece on Truth out this morning called The War Crimes of Donald Trump. He's committing war crimes at a rapid rate, killing civilians at a rate even more than Russia did in Syria, so much so that airwars.org, which is an NGO that's documenting civilian casualties, can't even keep up with the U.S. Bombing civilians. And so I would like to see that kind of news getting into the mainstream instead of these endless hours about Russia. I know that everybody is upset about it, but boy, there's people are dying.
And it's now becoming really coming to light. I think we are turning our attention to that now. The news, the media is, I think, it's too soon to tell. Marjorie, thank you so much for that. We are so fortunate to have you. We're very, very grateful for you joining us today on Air Cascadia, and we hope to speak with you again on some of these questions soon. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, April 5th, 2017.